Well, good morning and Happy New Year. Welcome to worship here with us at Romeo United Methodist Church. So glad to be here. So glad to have you join us on this snowy morning. I didn't expect that. I just saw it flurrying out there. I'm glad you all made it in. I'm glad you can worship with us. And I'm glad to have our online viewers as well, those who can join us from wherever you might be this morning, that we can still worship together. And I know you may have looked at your bulletin and not been expecting to see me up here. And that's because I wasn't planning on being here. But I got a message just yesterday afternoon from Michelle that she was not feeling well. She had come down with whatever that is that's going around out there right now. So Michelle, I know you're tuning in and watching. We hope you get better. And I get the pleasure of being here to worship with you. So I'm glad to be here with you today. I have just two quick things I wanted to share. First, coming up on January 14th, we have one of our first family events of the year, or our fellowship events. It's going to be our square dancing night. It's something that had taken place over past years, and we're bringing it back. So if you want to join us, that'll be January 14th from 6:30 to 8:30, and there is a sign-up sheet downstairs just so we can get an idea of how many people we're going to have. I was told this very clearly. All skills are welcome. It doesn't matter if you've danced before, if you've square danced before or not. You don't need to bring a partner. We'll get you out there. They told me I can do it, and if I can do it, anyone can do it. So we hope you can join us. It'll be a fun evening. That will be January 14th. And then also, just to get it on your calendars, February 11th, we will have our chili cook-off and talent show coming up. We did this last year, and it was a wonderful evening. The food was great. I'm not going to say anything about the counting for the votes for the chili. I'm not going to go there again, but it was a fun evening. We had a good time, and the talents were amazing to see our talents showed off of our members, our youth. We'd love for you to join us. That sign-up sheet is down there. If you have a talent, you can play, sing, dance, magic, karate. We've had all kinds of things done as those talents. Please plan on joining us. Please plan on sharing those talents with us. That will be February 11th. Those were the couple of announcements I had to make. Oh, I have one more, and I don't want to get in trouble for forgetting it. We've had people asking. We've had calls. We've had people wondering if they missed it. You have not missed the offering envelopes. We are waiting for them still. Our supplier, like so many other people, has been struggling with supply line issues, and we just don't have them yet. They're telling us that we should have them by the end of this month, the latest. But in the meantime, you can use the pew envelopes. We have extras on the table and downstairs at the welcome desk. You can just make sure your name is on that envelope. The counters promised me they'll get it in the right spot. And I was also encouraged to remind you that we do have our e-giving on our website. It might be a good time to sign up for that if you've never used it or if you've been interested. If you have questions, you can contact me or Shelly in the office. We'd be glad to help you with getting set up with that, too. But we will have those for you. As soon as we do, I will be sure to let you know. So thank you for your patience with that. But to start our worship today, I'm going to invite you to stand with me and sing our opening hymn. It's going to be number 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Will you please stand with me as we sing number 327? Will you pray with me? Light of life, you came in flesh, born into human pain, human joy. You came and gave us power to be your children. So grant us faith, O Christ, to see your presence among us in this world, in the places we are. May it be so that we may have all creation sing your praises, that all creation may know your peace in their hearts and in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is going to take us to Psalm 29. I invite you to hear these words, the Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. All in his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And this ends our first reading for today. We were supposed to have a piece of special music, but it was supposed to be Michelle and Claudia. As I said, Michelle wasn't able to make it, and then I got a message from Claudia apologizing that she wasn't going to be able to make it either. So we're going to send that down the line, and we're going to look forward to them sharing that special music with us another Sunday. But at this time, I'd like to invite any of the children or youth that are with us that would like to come forward to join me for our time with children today. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Oh, geez. Spent a few days at home with them and they can't get away from me. Well, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I like the enthusiasm. Thank you. Even if we're losing a shoe. There you go. Well, I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. I didn't plan a children's time for today because I didn't think I was going to be here. So I don't know what I was going to talk about. But then I realized that what I'm going to be preaching to the adults about here in just a little bit, and it kind of applies for us too, and that sometimes in our lives, plans change, right? Because I wasn't planning on preaching today, I wasn't planning on leading today, but then some things happened and that changed. And you know what? That's okay. That's part of why we do this, why we support and strengthen one another. Michelle had stepped in to help me out, so what could I do to help her out? I stepped in and I'm helping her out. And that's sometimes the change that happens in our lives, that we don't expect it, we're not looking for it, we don't even necessarily want it to happen, but change happens. And sometimes, you know, change gets a rap as being a bad thing, things change for the worse, or things get harder, but change can also be a good thing. It can lead us to opportunities and things that we weren't aware of. And I think that's just kind of what was on my mind and my heart, because someone asked me this morning, wait, it's a new year? We have to remember a new year now? And I said, yeah, it's a new year, right? What's the year now? Do you remember? 2023. That's right. So when we're writing that date, and we got to remember when we're doing our school, it's 2023 now. Yeah. Are you going to remember that? Okay. Well, I guarantee at least once or twice in the next couple days, I'm going to write 2022 still when I'm filling out that information. Oh, you come up too. Come on up. But the year has changed, and, you know, so we're moving into a new year, and I just want you to know that as we go into this year, if there's changes you see or things that happen in your life, look at the opportunities in those. Look at the chances that you have in those for good to happen, for a chance to help someone, to serve someone, to love someone, a chance to know God a little closer. Because change isn't a bad thing. Change happens in our lives. So we're going to change together and continue to learn and grow, all right? Does that sound good to you guys? Yeah? All right. Well, I'm glad you guys came up here. I'm glad that you could sit with me and on me. And I see Mrs. Sparks is there if you want to head back with her. So let's say a word of prayer, all right? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, Lord, I give you thanks for this time. I give you thanks for the changes that happen, even the unexpected ones, the ones that catch us a little off guard. I give you thanks for your Spirit being with us and guiding us and strengthening us and showing us the way amidst that change. And Lord, I just pray as we move into this new year that all together, all of us as your children, can continue to change for the better, to change to be more like you, to love like you, to serve like you. Because we know you love us, and we know you want us to be your children, and we want to do so. So we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, guys, thanks for coming up. You can head on back. There you go. Careful. Good job. There you go. Well, we do take this time each and every Sunday to share our needs, our joys, our concerns, those in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. And as I mentioned, already have mentioned, both Michelle and Claudia had reached out to me that they were not feeling well and needed to stay home and rest today. And I know there are others who are in similar circumstances as those various things are going around. So we do keep all of them in our prayers for rest and for well-being, for their health. Also this week, I received a call from the Carroll family. We've been praying for Bill for some time, and Bill did pass earlier this week. He went home to be with his Lord, and he'd been battling numerous medical issues for many years, so the family is relieved for him that he is no longer in that pain and suffering, but they are mourning his loss. So I ask that we keep his wife Linda and all the family in our prayers in the coming days. The visitation will be this Wednesday, January 4th, from 10 to noon, over at Marlberg Funeral Home, and then the service will be at noon there at Marlberg. So we do keep the Carroll family in our prayers. And then just yesterday I received a message that Diane Smiles, asking for prayers for her and for her family. Her sister Mary Phillips passed away, and I was able to speak with Diane, and she said they're sad and mourning her loss, but her sister was 98 years old and had lived a good life. So they're celebrating for her and that she has gone home to her eternal reward as well. I don't have any arrangements or anything from them yet, but we will share it as we know in the coming days. But those were the ones that were shared with me ahead of service. Nathan has a microphone there, and Janet has one in back. If you have something to share, please just raise a hand. And
I got a message from Cynthia Forsgren earlier this week. Doug has tested positive again for COVID. The concern is his lungs, because his lungs never got rid of the crystals from the first COVID that he had. So please keep them in your prayers.
First for Doug as he battles his COVID infection. Thank you, Gwen.
My furnace went out this morning. It had a noise. I was trying to put it up to take a shower. And
prayers for a quick repair to keep it warm for you. Absolutely, Debbie. Keep you in prayers for that, for sure. Are there any others? Then I invite us to take these that we've heard, as we have heard these shared, as we've brought some of our own with us, friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, wherever those needs may be, people around the world. Let us take a moment and lift those needs, acknowledge those needs before our God in silent prayer. Thank you. Creator God, when everything first began, water became a symbol of refreshing, of washing away, of renewing. Through the waters of creation, you brought forth abundant life. As we've gathered this day, we will remember Jesus' baptism, how your Spirit proclaimed that he was your beloved Son in whom you were very well pleased. Our spirits resound with that proclamation. In his baptism, Jesus' ministry was initiated. He dedicated his life to you completely and without reservation. Help us today to dedicate our lives to you, to offer our best for you, to be of service to you by serving in your world. Lord, today we've lifted before you the names of people close to us, people in need of your healing touch, your tender mercies. Lord, we also need to be reminded that we are to lift ourselves up as people in need of your grace. In our world, there is war, oppression, hunger, and alienation. And at times, we have not been good stewards of this world. We failed to care for one another. We failed to care for what you've given us. So heal us and this world, O Lord. Renew us with your life-giving waters and reaffirm our baptisms as your children. Let us go forth to be people of peace and mercy. We ask all this in Jesus' name, the one who taught us to pray together this prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite you to stand with me for our next hymn. It's number 431, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Will you please stand with me as you're able? Please be seated. As you are, we take this moment in service to again offer our thanks to God. Thanks for the many blessings that have been celebrated in the past weeks, the blessings of family and friends, the blessings of that newborn baby born in a manger that we celebrated just a week ago. I offer my thanks to you as our church community, our church family, for the many ways you support this church through your giving, not just of your money, but of your time and your efforts, I noted to a few of you that during that Christmas week, we served 5 meals in 8 days in this church. That's a pretty awesome outreach. That's a pretty awesome mission that was done by this church. We served funeral meals. We served his table meals. We served Christmas dinner meals during that week. Thank you. Thank you for being the church. I had individuals from that Christmas dinner who came up and told me, thank you for doing this. Thank you for giving us a place to come on Christmas Day. How awesome that we can be that as the church. So I say thank you to all of you. Thank you for your continued support, your continued giving to our church. We do have the offering box on the organ, of course, that we can take those offerings in. And as I stated earlier, our website at romeoumc.com has the giving link. But now let me offer this word of thanks and prayer for today's collection. God of light and God of promise, we bring our gifts to further your work in a dark world. May they bring your light to those overwhelmed by darkness, pain, and loneliness. Accept these gifts of money and time. Lord, indeed, the gifts of our very selves. Let them shine for all to see and be brought into the sphere of your love and righteousness. For we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today is going to take us to Matthew's gospel. We're going to hear Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 13 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Continuing in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I were to say the word evangelism or evangelical or evangelist, what thoughts, what does that stir up in your mind? What's the first thing that pops into your head? Is it a positive image, or is it a negative image that comes to mind? I've had that question bouncing around in my head for a little while, ever since I came across an article in one of the publications I read that was titled, Is Evangelical a Dirty Word? It's likely that if I took a survey of all of us gathered here, I'd have varying responses just as that article had in it. There are different connotations, different things we envision when we hear that word, evangelism, evangelical, evangelist. And as I thought about that article and my mind reflected back to one of my last classes that I took when I was a seminary student, it was titled Foundations of Evangelism. And if I'm being completely honest with you, it was in that last semester of my seminary career that I had to take it because I'd been putting off taking that class. I wasn't particularly excited about that class, so it ended up on that last semester schedule that I had to take that class. Because maybe like you, maybe you like me, when you hear that word, evangelism, so for some reason or another, it still carries a little negative connotation. It has a negative thought in the back of your mind. And I don't know if it's because it makes me think of those televangelists who we've all come across on our TVs, especially if you're up particularly late at night, you're flicking through the channels, you might see those guys preaching the good news, quite charismatically, I might add, but always making sure that they have that 800 number flashing on the screen or the website to give before they jet off in their private jet to the next destination. Or perhaps Like me, it reminds you of some of those individuals you might come across on street corners of large cities or universities. You know the ones, usually they have a megaphone in one hand and a big sign in the other. Their sign might have something on it like, repent or burn. Or claim Jesus as Lord or else. Or you think it's hot out here? Wait till you get to hell. I actually found all three of those signs in less than a 5-second Google search. All of those were real signs seen around the country. And I actually witnessed one of those individuals at work when I was a student at Grand Valley University. It was my first week on campus. And I'd come to find that he was a frequent fixture on campus. He was there quite often on the quad. And he, like I mentioned before, he had his megaphone, he had his sign, and he was literally standing on a soapbox in the center of that quad. And on this particular day, as I was walking across campus, I was with a couple of fellow students who I'd just met days before. And I couldn't tell you what we were talking about, but I do remember it being a beautiful day as we were walking across campus until suddenly we heard a voice ring out. It was amplified by that megaphone, and it said something to the effect of, hey, you! Yeah, you over there in the blue top. You know God would not approve of that outfit. You better make some better choices, or you know what's going to happen to you. And it took the three of us as we were walking. It took us a second to even acknowledge that he was talking to our group. He was talking to one of the young women that I was walking with. And then it took us another second to really realize what he had just said to her, the claim he had made about her. And quite frankly, it caught us off guard. And we didn't say anything back. We just passed the individual and kept on our way to class. But looking back on that encounter, I heard some of you, the looks on some of your faces, you had the same reaction I have thinking about that encounter. It still makes me shake my head. It still makes me angry to this day for a few reasons. First, because quite frankly, the individual I was walking with, I don't think she was dressed at all inappropriately. She was actually became a very good friend of mine throughout school. And I came to know her as one of the friendliest, most caring, and loving people I'd ever known. She didn't deserve to be spoken to in that way. And that leads me to the second reason it still makes me shake my head and makes me angry as I look back at it. Because I am disappointed in myself and how I reacted. Or for the fact that I didn't react. That I let that situation pass. I didn't say anything back. I didn't need to start a fight, but I could have said something that would have stood up for her, would have stood up for my friend. What kind of witness did I offer in that moment to her, to simply let him belittle her in the name of God? What kind of witness did I offer to that young woman? I still regret that I didn't do anything. But the final reason that it makes me shake my head is I still, for the life of me, cannot understand how that individual, with his megaphone, with his sign, with his soapbox, how he thought what he was doing was in any way beneficial to the witness of God. Yelling at college students as they passed, condemning them without ever knowing a thing about them. If he'd gotten to know my friend, he would have learned that she was raised as a Jew. She was raised in a Jewish family. And she, of course, knew who Jesus was, had some ideas about Christianity, had had good Christian friends throughout her life. But how did that encounter with that gentleman, how did that make her at all interested in getting to know Jesus and wanting to know his people, his church? Why would she want to seek him out when people talk to her in that way? Is that the witness Jesus wants us putting out there into the world? I'll be honest, as I started that class in evangelism, I really hoped that it might offer some insight into that question. What witness does Jesus want from us? However, as I sat with classmates, as we had our discussion, I quickly learned that my experience with my friends was anything but abnormal. Many of my classmates had had similar experiences or had heard similar stories from friends and loved ones about people demeaning them, about people pointing out how they were going to hell without ever getting to know, not knowing them for a moment in their life. And my professor shared with us that the major problem with this form of evangelism comes in the focus on conversion above all else. Either you're willing to convert and change or you're going to hell. There's no other option. It's black and white. You're going to suffer the consequences if you're not willing to listen to what I have to say. In one of our books, the author wrote, evangelism demands a competition between the evangelist and the evangelized, in which only one will have their initial beliefs remain. evangelism I learned in that class has become, in many people's eyes, a us versus them situation. You're either with us or you're against us. And it was into this early discussion on evangelism that my professor offered a critique. I went and found it in my notes. I still have it written in my notes. This is what he told us. We should not deny that evangelists seek to augment or replace people's existing beliefs. Evangelism entails sharing the good news of God with the hope that people will hear it and people will receive it. By the same token, an evangelist should never condemn people. As evangelists, we invite others to consider and be challenged by the good news of God in Jesus Christ. We do not issue a blanket condemnation of those who disagree with that good news. I'll be honest, I appreciated hearing my professor's words that day. It did offer me a new insight into what evangelism is and should be. And over the course of that semester, we continued to strip away the negative connotation many of us had had with evangelism, and we turned it into something else. We came to a new understanding of evangelism, and as the professor presented it, it was in a much more holistic, a much more Wesleyan way, just like John Wesley had intended. Because in the United Methodist Church and other churches under the Wesleyan tradition, we do believe that each person must at some point in their life make a personal decision to follow Christ. We must choose him as Lord and Savior. John Wesley would have been the first to say that. But for Wesleyans, converting people to Christ is not the end goal, nor is it necessarily a one-time event in people's lives. Rather, conversions for Wesleyans, for those who have followed John Wesley's teachings, is a lifelong process of growing into a deeper discipleship, a deeper relationship with God through Jesus Christ. For Methodists, we don't believe there is one single way, not even necessarily a single moment, in which someone suddenly changes their status from unsaved to saved. We believe that it is a process. Conversions can occur throughout our lives, from a young age until a ripe old age. It can be an experience as big and small. It can be a formal experience or an informal experience. It can be a private experience or one that happens in public. It can happen anywhere and any time in any way. And I fully believe, just as my professor said, that it was never Jesus' intention for it to be an us versus them dynamic. Jesus wanted us to live and learn and grow together through relationship with one another so that we might all grow closer to God. And one distinct way that people's journeys toward discipleship begins is with their baptism. Whether it's as a child or as an adult, we celebrate baptism as a recognition of what God has done and what God has done and what God is doing in our lives. It has nothing to do with what we have done as individuals. It has everything to do with what God has already done. In our scripture reading this morning, it took us to the banks of the Jordan River. And it introduced us to one of the first evangelists, maybe the first evangelist, one of the best. We met John the Baptist out there doing his thing, proclaiming the coming of a Savior, encouraging people to repent, and baptizing them, inviting them into relationship with God. And he was doing his thing, doing what he thought he was supposed to be doing, until one day a man stood before him. And it wasn't just any man. This was the one of which he had spoken. It was the Messiah. And I can only imagine that John must have done a double take as he realized who this was standing before him, as he saw Jesus standing there waiting to be baptized. Because remember that Jesus and John the Baptist, they were cousins. They would have more than, I'm sure, were aware of each other. They knew each other. They had been in relationship for many years. They'd crossed paths growing up. They knew who each other were. But here on this day, John sees Jesus. And in that moment, John had to have known that in that moment, things were about to change. Something was about to happen. Because in looking at these scriptures, I've come to realize that we have more in common with Jesus than I might have originally thought. You see, up to this point, Jesus was living his life just as any of us would. We have little knowledge of what he's been doing for these previous 30 years of his life. We saw him as that little child in the manger, of course. We have one story of him as a child, and then there is a large gap of time. We know that, like his earthly father Joseph, he had worked as a carpenter, but at some point he decided it was time, and he put that hammer down He turned that sign from open to closed on the shop door. And now he's made his way to the Jordan River. And it's only in Matthew's gospel, the one that we read here this morning, that we get this conversation, this discussion that takes place between John and Jesus. And this encounter is actually the very first time that Jesus speaks in Matthew's gospel. And in it, he says that he needs to be baptized. He needs to be baptized because baptism will help him learn. It will help him accept. It will help him become who he's meant to be. And at first, John insists that he cannot possibly baptize Jesus. He isn't worthy. Jesus should be the one baptizing him. But Jesus insists that it must happen. Jesus knows that he's being called to a different kind of life, and it will begin with this baptism. And as we've read, we know John does baptize Jesus. And that as Jesus comes out of the water, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended upon him. And a very voice of heaven spoke, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I'm going to have to tell you a little secret here. I think about this event, this baptism of Jesus, every Sunday I get up here to preach before you. And I do so because of what exists at the back of our sanctuary. Our beautiful rose window that's up there on the wall. I have it on the screens as well, because you might not be able to see it from your seats, but I can see it. I see it every Sunday. And that window, that reminder to me, is because of right there in the middle, right in the middle of that image, we see that dove. A dove that's pointing down, a dove that's descending, you might say. I'm reminded of what took place in that Jordan River. I'm reminded that Jesus' experience that day, it left him changed. It left him ready to be in ministry. My friends, I likewise believe that our baptisms, they change us. It marks us as a part of God's chosen people. It marks us for a different kind of life. And I've been present for a good number of baptisms, ones that I've participated in, ones that I've sat in the pews and witnessed. And I'll be honest, I have never once seen anything nearly as dramatic as what we described in the scriptures happen. I have not seen the heavens open. I have not seen a dove descend. I'll be honest about that. But I do believe that each and every one of those baptisms was equally important. I believe that in each of those baptisms, that Spirit still falls like a dove on each of us. It descends. It touches us and strengthens us for what lies before us. And I also firmly believe that our Heavenly Father, our God, still watches every one of those baptisms. And he still proclaims, "This is my child, whom I love. With them I am well pleased." Our Heavenly Father is a part of that moment. Our Heavenly Father is witnessing our call to ministry. Yet the key to our baptism, whenever it happened, the key to our baptism remains that change requires change. You see, we cannot remain the same and expect anything different to happen in our lives or around us. Our baptism is only the beginning. If we truly want to change, if we truly want to become one of God's children, then we must seek to live as Jesus lived. And I fully believe it takes a lifetime. It does not just happen in a moment. And I know that today is January 1st. It is New Year's, a change on the calendars. It's a day that often brings with it resolutions and declaration of changes we want to make in our lives. And please hear me, I don't have any problems with that in principle, not at all. But if we're going to make those statements, are we really willing to make the changes required to make it a reality in our lives? Because let's face it, we're a society that likes immediate results. We want to see change, and we want to see it now. We want it to happen in this moment. But I believe the truth is that, like our baptisms, like most beginnings, they find meaning long after the actual event. The change isn't immediately evident. We don't see a noticeable difference in that instant. Because beginning things is often easy. Let's face it, each and every one of us could go out and start a marathon right this moment, couldn't we? But how many of you think you could finish that marathon if we was crossed that starting line? I sure know I couldn't. Completing that marathon would be another story. But I do believe that in our baptism, we are handed a map. And it's up to us to make the trip, to make the journey. It takes our whole lives to finish that journey that began with our baptism. So it makes me wonder, it makes me ask, what does it mean for us to live out our baptism? I believe if we're to be true to our baptisms, we cannot make ourselves comfortable. We cannot do only what will be appreciated. We cannot be satisfied with the way things are. Our baptisms demand that we struggle with what's right and what's wrong, with what's important and with what's not. Because the children of God, we are called to tell the truth in a world that lies. We are called to give in a world that takes, to love in a world that lusts. We are called to make peace in a world that fights. God wants us to serve in a world that wants nothing more than to be served. God wants us to pray in a world that's just looking to be entertained. God wants us to take chances in a world that prioritizes safety. The baptisms that we've all been a part of, baptisms that were a part of our lives, they have made us citizens of an eccentric community where financial success is not the primary goal, the final goal. Safety is not the highest good, and sacrifice should be a daily event. Because baptism is our ordination into ministry, our vow to live with more concern for others, for the hurting, for the broken of our world than for ourselves. Baptism is the commitment we share to love the poor and outcast of our world. Our baptism makes each and every one of us an evangelist. I believe that to be true. We are tasked with sharing the good news, not simply to convert the masses, but to introduce people into a relationship and life with Jesus Christ. What did it mean the day you were baptized? The answer to that will be different for each and every one of us. We each have a different path before us. We each have a different purpose. We all were given different strengths, different tools, different things to do for God's glory. And while we strive to be like Jesus, we will all fall short. And that's okay because we are not expected to be Jesus. I recently read a quote that I love. The gentleman said, "When I stand before God, He will not ask me, 'Why were you not Abraham, Jacob, or David?' He will ask, 'Why were you not Bernie? Why were you not Bernie?'" The meaning of your baptism is unique to you. It is seen in what you think, in what you feel. It is seen in what you do this and every day. As I was working on this sermon, I realized I need to put a little asterisk here. This is a little sidebar here. I've been talking a great deal about baptism here this morning, specifically about people's individual baptisms. So to anyone who's with us in person or watching online that has not been baptized, please know that is okay. I don't believe you're any less faithful, any less a child of God because of your baptism status. Because I believe you can live a faithful, God-fearing, God-loving life even if you have not yet been baptized. But I'm also going to offer something else here this morning. If you've heard my words, if something has moved in your heart, something has moved in your soul, and you're interested, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about baptism a little more. I'd love to baptize you right here in front of our congregation. If that's something you're interested in, come find me. Come talk to me. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk a little bit more. Because I know that God would love to say it one more time, that you are God's beloved, God's child, with whom He is well pleased. All right, off the sidebar. I said a few minutes ago, though, we are entering into a new year. My hope, my challenge, the change I want for all of us in the year to come is that we embrace who we are called to be. We are God's children, whom He loves. And we are called to share that message far and wide. I don't doubt that one bit. But my friends, we can also start sharing that message right here in our own community, with friends and neighbors, with coworkers, We can share it with those that we encounter each and every day. We can be evangelists who share the good news, who build relationships with others, even as we deepen and develop our own relationship with God. I pray that God's Spirit, that same one that still descends on each of us, that it's with us and that it guides us as we work to become what God has called us to be. Let us not change for the sake of change. Let us change as it has been required of us by our Lord and Savior. Let us change the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and his love. Let it be so. Amen.
Let's all stand, if you're able, for our last song.
Only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you we still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all you we still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. 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 When all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Lord, we can only imagine. We can only imagine what that day will look like. But today, Lord, let us serve. Let us love. Let us reach out with your light into this world that is in darkness. Let us go as your evangelists to serve and love in this world. We go with your blessing. We go with your spirit. Amen.